I'm in John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, you know, in the chapter before this, 13, here's a few things that are happening. Jesus told these guys, "I'm going to go away, and you can't follow me." You know how fearful that must have been for these guys? They walked with him. They were used to him being there. They were always with him. I mean, Jesus was the one who was doing all these things, you know, and he was the Son of God. And now he's saying, "Hey, I'm leaving, and wherever I'm going, you can't follow me." And I'm sure that was really disruptive in their hearts. Like, what do you mean we can't follow you? Also that evening, just a short time ago, Jesus said, "One of you are going to betray me." That must have been hard to take. You know, we were like a group. We loved each other. We were a team. We were working together. Now you're telling us, Lord, one of us is going to betray you? And that must have been a traumatic thing. And then Peter said, "Lord, I'll go with you. I'll die for you." And Jesus said, "No, Peter, I want you to know this very night you're going to deny me three times before the cock will crow." You know, so it's almost like this picture of this team is unraveling right in front of these men. And so Jesus, when he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled," I'm sure there was a reason he was saying it. Whatever was going on there was really causing these men to be unnerved. So he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." And then he said, "Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." How many praise God for that? There's many rooms there. "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" You know, to me, this is one of the most comforting scriptures I think of when I think of what happens when we die. You know, there's always a certain, there's an uncertainty about death. I mean, we've never seen it. It's kind of like you cross through this, you know, this doorway or whatever it is. What's on the other side? Well, it's good to know that Jesus, who is on the other side, told us this. "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you." That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself." And listen to this, "that where I am, you may be also." Jesus wants us to be with him. You know, when a person dies and they pass through that doorway, you're going to be with Jesus. There's a place prepared. I don't know if these guys were thinking about death at this time. Maybe there was things like that going on, but there was certainly fear rising up. And Jesus is wanting to remove one of the greatest fears that people face, and that is the fear of death. People oftentimes give a lot of energy toward wondering about that. Or they get sick and they may be dying and they think about it. And it can become almost like a consuming thing in our hearts if we're not careful. The Bible says that Jesus came to deliver us who through all of our lives were in bondage through the fear of death. He's telling his disciples, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because on the other side of that is where I am. And in my Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's kind of like he's removing from our plate the thing that causes us the greatest fear. Move it out of the way. Don't let that consume your life, because he has a greater purpose for us than to wonder about that. Well, Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said this. I mean, it's a famous scripture. We all know it. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You want to get into the Father's house? It's me. You just got to follow me. I'm the way. Well, we want a map. Give us a GPS. Give us some. What's the direction, Lord? When do I turn right? When do I turn left? He says, it's me. I'm the way. Have this relationship with me. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And you know, these things about Jesus that he says about himself, these things are all under attack in our world today. Jesus said he is the only way. And yet we live in a world today where people want to have many ways to God. Jesus said, no, if you want to come to the Father, you have to come through me. He's the truth. You know, today people don't want to hear that there is a truth. We want to hear that your truth is truth and my truth is truth, and they may be worlds apart, but your truth is truth and my truth is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. True life is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus made it clear that nobody would be able to come to the Father except through him. Do you want to go to the Father? You got to go through Jesus. And if you want to know the way, it's him. He's all we need. And then in verse 27, at the very end of this chapter, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So he's really trying to move these men from being troubled, a troubled spirit, to having peace. Settle these issues in your heart. Don't worry about the future. That's all in my hands. There's a place. I'm coming back for you. I want you to be with me. Remove that from your fear, and I am giving you my peace. So if you're here today and you have, like, I don't know, an uncertainty about the future, or you worry about that, then just go to the Lord today and say, Lord, I don't want that to consume my life. You know, while I'm here, if it's another day or another 25 or 40 years, I don't want that to consume my life. I want your peace to be here. Because what's happening is Jesus is taking these men who are troubled, fearful, arguing about who's the greatest, a betrayer among them, Peter, who's going to deny him. He's taking these men and he's saying, I'm turning over my mission to reach the world unto you men. And so he's trying to remove those barriers toward them actually being engaged in the work of the Lord. And fear is one of them. So in John 14, verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? And look at these words. He said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What does he mean there? Does he mean that they're the same? No. He's just saying that Jesus is so much in tune with his Father that when you see me, you've seen him. You see what I'm like? That's what the Father's like. You hear the words that I say? They're the words of the Father. You see the works that I'm doing? Those are the works of the Father. So Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why are you asking me to show us the Father? I've been walking with you all this time. And Jesus was so united with his Father. He says, I and my Father are one. That when you've seen him, you've actually seen the Father. So, have I been so long with you, you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? I mean, I believe that. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And then he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Now these guys saw all kinds of works that Jesus did. He saw them calm the sea. He saw them feed the 5,000 with a couple loaves and a few fish. He saw them open blind eyes. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw him see a man stretch forth his arm. He saw the widow's child be raised from the dead also. He saw 10 lepers healed of leprosy. I mean, these guys saw the works of Jesus. They saw the works of God through Jesus. And Jesus said, these are the works of the Father. He's in me, and I'm in him. And he said, believe me that I'm in the Father, at least believe on account of the works. How many of you guys love to hear about the works of Jesus? You read those stories, you see the miracles, like, wow, it's amazing that Jesus did. Now, I want to just say one thing about this few verses I just read, and then I want to start talking about the task at hand. There is this idea that Jesus isn't enough. You know, I was out witnessing the other day to a young guy and, you know, just sharing the gospel with him, and he goes, yeah, I've been reading that Gospel of Enoch. You know, there's so much good stuff in there. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, the Gospel of Enoch is a book that's out there. You know, it's an apocryphal type book. But there's this idea that Jesus isn't enough. Yeah, I know about Jesus, but there's got to be this hidden wisdom here. So there's got to be something else over here. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying. Listen, I'm enough. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, I don't want to be too simplistic about it, but all we need is Jesus. I don't need Jesus and anything else. When the apostles started going out and doing the works of the Lord, it said they were kind of blowing the minds of the religious leaders of that day because they had never gone to the schools. They had never learned the things at the seminary, so to speak. But it said these men took note they had been with Jesus. And Jesus is really all we need. And that's not naive, and it's not too simplistic. To me, it's true. All we need is Jesus. I don't need Jesus and anything else. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So if I can encourage you along these lines, throw your life into Jesus. Get to know him. Read about the Gospels. Open up the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just read the stories of Jesus. Read them over and over and over again. Fall in love with him. Fall in love with Jesus. It's not a matter of us just knowing him. It's falling in love with him that moves us toward obedience. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. So now, in verse 12, Jesus just got done talking about all the great works he's done. And now he turns it back to them. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. How many of you, do you believe that? So Jesus, first of all, he's taken away this fear of the future. Don't be troubled, guys. I'm in control here. There's a place we're preparing. I want to be with you. And I want you to know I'm enough. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And you've seen the works that I've done. But I want you to know that if you believe in me, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, will you do. So you see, Jesus is kind of changing the conversation from things we're fearful of, or Jesus, is he enough, to saying there's a job for you. I'm leaving. I'm going away. But there's always going to be a witness for him on the earth. There's always going to be a witness for Jesus on the earth. And I'm going away, and the works that I've done, you're going to do now. And he actually says here, greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I believe this, that when he went to the Father, he sent forth the Holy Spirit. And now it's not just Jesus, but there's literally millions of people on the planet today who are followers of Jesus Christ, who have received his Holy Spirit, who have the power to be witness, and who are called to do the works that he did. And yet I feel like so many of us, and myself included, there are times that we let the worries of this life pull us away from this mission. Or Jesus isn't enough, and we're on this search to try to find something else in life that's going to really satisfy me when he is enough. And he has on his heart this idea that, hey, I've done these things, now I want you to do them. I'm leaving you here. So I want to share with you as we close three things that Jesus gives us to prepare us for his work. And the first one's found in John 14, 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let's read that again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You believe that? Have any of you ever asked Jesus something and he didn't do it? Can I see your hand? So what is that? Is this true or isn't it true? Well, as I mentioned to you, I think that John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all a major time of communication with Jesus. And he says something in John 15, verse 7, that I believe brings some clarity. He says, if you abide in me, this is John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I think there's something that happens when we start abiding in Christ, and I'm talking about just spending the time with him, being in prayer, focusing on our relationship with Jesus and letting his words live in us, it changes the focus of our prayer. See, my prayer might be, Lord, you know what? I need a better job. Okay, well, praise God. That's nothing wrong with that. Or, Lord, my hair's falling out. Would you do something about this? You know, I mean, there's all these things that we pray for, and you'd be surprised if we were to just jot down our prayer list how much of it is really focused on making me happy. But I'm telling you, as you draw close to the Lord and begin to abide in him, and not just abide in him, but let his word live here, you're going to find the focus of your prayer begins to change. And what's going to be happening is you're going to be praying according to the will of God. In the book of 1 John says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we know if he hears us, we will have whatever he asks. In the book of Matthew, when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To me, my prayers are always going to be answered when I ask him according to his will. The problem is, I'm not abiding in him. His word doesn't abide in me, so my prayers oftentimes are selfish. You know, I'm like my neighbor just, you know, beat my car up with his hammer. I pray that his garage will cave in. Well, God's not going to answer that prayer. So, if you've been a person and you've found yourself praying and you wonder why God isn't answering, Don't walk away from him and don't say, well, I guess he doesn't care about me, or I guess he doesn't answer prayer, or maybe that's not true. Just start to abide in him more. Spend the time with Jesus. Spend the time in the prayer and let his word live in you. This word abide is a very powerful word. It's like the word of God living in me. Let it live here. Let it take on a life of its own so that when you read the scripture and you find there are things that Jesus convicts you of, let his word take root and grow. Like I'm reading in here, I want to see my neighbor's garage collapse, but I read in the Bible it said, love my neighbor. Well, what am I going to do with that? I say, let your word live in me, Lord. Let your word live in me. And you know what? Maybe tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to pray, Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray for the salvation of my neighbor. I'm going to pray that you give me an opportunity to go share the good news of Jesus with him. So what happened there is my heart became aligned with his will. And I can ask anything according to his will. He'll hear me. In John 14, verse 15. So what's the first thing that Jesus gives us? He gives us confidence to pray. To pray. Pray, pray according to his will. Pray. He'll do it that his Father may be glorified. The second thing he gives us is found here. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I mean, that doesn't get much plainer than that, does it? I mean, we can say we love Jesus, but if obedience is not really becoming our way of life, We really don't love him. We might like him. We might have a feeling in our heart about him. But he's saying here that love is the same as obedience. They're two sides of the same coin. You really can't separate them. You can't say, I love you, but I just don't want to obey you today. He's saying, look, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I know that none of us here walk in perfect obedience to the Lord. I know that. But the Lord makes a way for us to confess and, you know, get that right. But my hope is, my prayer is that my love for Jesus will become greater and greater to where my desire for obedience, it just becomes part of me. It's not like I'm struggling to want to obey Jesus. And so when I see that love my neighbor, I don't fight against that and say, well, I have this bitterness in my heart because he smashed my car. So I let that go to the side and I say, Lord, I want to keep your commandments. I mean, this is what it is to make a disciple, isn't it? Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Obedience is really, to me, another element that God's given us to be involved in his work. It is loving Jesus that leads to obedience. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I mean, this whole relationship, it's funny, I forget now if you count how many times the word Father is used in this chapter. I think it's something like 27. I could be wrong on that, but somewhere around that number. This is a chapter about the Father. And it's amazing that Jesus is basically saying here, if you love me, the Father's going to love you. There's a relationship that Jesus has with his Father, and our relationship with Jesus, in a way, tells the Father how he relates to us. You know, if I have a friend out in my neighborhood and I like him, there's a good chance that his dad's going to like me. That kind of thing. And so he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And listen to this, I will manifest myself to him. So we want the presence of God. We want the Lord to manifest himself. We want him to, the word manifest just means to uncover, take something that's hidden and uncover it. How many of you want Jesus to manifest himself to you? We want to know, we want to hear his voice, we want to hear his direction. But he's saying here that this being manifest to us is linked to love and obedience. You know, if you walk around and you wonder, I wonder why the Lord's not revealing himself to me. Why isn't the Lord manifesting himself? Well, maybe look at the obedience in our life. Because that's who he manifests himself to here. If you love me, you'll be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. Maybe you're one of those ones that say, Jesus, I don't feel like Jesus ever speaks to me. Well, maybe that's an issue you got to look at. Do you love him? Is obedience a growing thing in your life? I'm not trying to condemn anybody or put people down, but these are things that we long for. We want Jesus to answer our prayer. But are we willing to align our heart with his will? And we want Jesus to manifest himself to us, but are we willing to pay the price of obedience and love? And so in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, how are you going to show yourself to us and not everybody see it? And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. It was like three times he said this in this short portion of scripture. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How would you like to have Jesus and the Father come and make their home with you? He's telling you how that happens. If If you love me, then keep my word. The world won't see it, but Jesus and the Father will come and make their home with you. If you want that kind of intimate relationship with Jesus, with his Father, the path is love and obedience. So to me, the second thing that Jesus offers us when we're involved in his work is his presence. He manifests himself to us, shows himself to us. He gives us confidence to pray, and he says, I will be with you. I'll manifest myself to you. And what's the third thing? It's John 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. How many of you need a helper? I need a helper. And so he says, I'm going to give you another helper. Jesus was our helper for 3.5 years. You were our helper. You showed us everything. You told us everything. You taught us everything. But I'm going away. But I want you to know, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send another helper to be with you forever. Don't you love that? I will be with you forever. Sometimes we're afraid to get involved in relationships because we're not sure how long they're going to last. This is a forever thing. I'll be with you forever, he said. Even the Spirit of Truth. I love all the different names that God gives himself, or Jesus gives himself, or the Holy Spirit is given in the Bible. One of them is called the Spirit of Truth. It's so good to know that the one who is your helper is the one who is given to truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's never going to lie. He's never going to teach you something that's false. He's never going to lead you astray. He is the Spirit of Truth. So I'm going to give you a helper. He'll be with you forever. He's the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive. Not everybody is going to receive this helper, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, but he will be in you. And then in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. You know, it's kind of amazing that Jesus, when he said, hey, I'm going to go away, you can't follow me, I'm sure somebody was sitting down there saying, man, we should have taken notes. Why didn't we record these sessions? But Jesus is saying, listen, when the Spirit of Truth is coming, he's going to remind you of all the things I've taught you. And we have those writings here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, things that the Holy Spirit reminded them, Matthew, Mark, and John for sure. But they were hearing from the Holy Spirit. They were getting, you know, teaching from him. He's called the teacher. When we pray here every Sunday morning, I always pray this prayer, Lord, teach us by your Holy Spirit. You know why? Because I'm not the teacher. If you don't hear something or learn something, it's because either you weren't listening, the Holy Spirit wasn't talking to you, one or the other. But we're not the teacher. You know, we're just kind of throwing some words out there, but it's the Holy Spirit who's the teacher. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going away, but you know what? There's a helper coming. There's a Spirit of Truth coming. There's somebody coming who's going to be living in you forever. And he will show you the way. He will teach you. He will remind you. And you and I, brothers and sisters, we have that same Holy Spirit. He's not revealed to the world, but he's revealed to those who are his children. It's kind of odd when you go out and you share the gospel with people, how you can see somebody who has no idea what a blessing it is to know Jesus. No idea what a blessing it is to have this Spirit of Truth living inside of you. You feel so sad. You feel like, man alive, how can a person be so blind? And it's because he is able to manifest himself to some and not to others. And if you have this, if you have what he's talking about here, this Holy Spirit as a helper, as a guide, as a teacher, praise God for that. Praise God for it. So what are the three things that Jesus has given us? One is confidence to pray. And I encourage you, you know, look at your prayer life. Pray to the Lord Jesus. Pray that your heart would be more aligned to His will so that those prayers are answered. The second thing is, look for His presence. He will manifest Himself to us. But you know, the answer, the key to seeing Jesus manifest Himself is found through love and obedience. And then finally, He gave us His Holy Spirit, power to be a witness, someone who would be with us forever as a helper and a teacher. So we're going to close up now. We're going to have a couple musicians come up and play a song. And you'd like to stand with me if you would.